Romans chapter 2, verses 12 through 29. We began last week our series on Where is Your Hope? Did the introduction, and now we will dig into the meat of the passage. Romans chapter 2, verses 12 through 29 says that for all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. On that day, when according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus, but if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God and know his will and approve what is excellent because you are instructed from the law, and if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law dishonor God by breaking the law, for as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law, but if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you who have written the written code and circumcision but break the law. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we endeavor into your word this morning, I pray that we would not be individuals who just hear, but that we would be individuals who respond, who would seek your face, who would seek your righteousness, who would seek you to work and change and transform us into people who are walking in closer relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we talked about last week, there are two standards for the judgment of God against men. The first one is for those who did not receive instruction from God through the law. And those who did not receive instruction from God through the law will be judged for their actions separate from that instruction. So those individuals who who did not have the privilege of hearing what the Word of God said, who did not have the privilege of guiding instruction, those individuals will still be judged because they did know something of what God expected of them, but they chose to deny it. For all who have sinned without the law will perish without the law, he says. And then there's a standard of judgment for those who have been given instruction under the law. And those who have been given instruction under the law will be judged according to the standard of the law. So those individuals who have been given the law will be judged according to what the law says and expects of them. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. Verse 13, for it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God. So having been given an understanding of the law does not make an individual righteous before God. So just because you know what the Bible says doesn't mean you're actually doing what the Bible says, right? There's a difference between those who are hearers and those who are doers. James writes to us and he says we are not to be just hearers of the word, but doers unto the word. And we realize that justification, salvation through the law, can only be given to those who have lived according to the law. It says, but the doers of the law who will be justified. So if you're counting on, and we'll get to this next week, if you're counting on the law to justify you, you have to keep it, and you have to keep it perfectly, right? You have to be a keeper of the law. So today, we look at the hope in our morality, right? Now, a trouble with hoping in morality is that, number one, there are many different forms and ideas about morality, right? Some of us desire and think that the moral place is the white picket fence life, right? They got the beautiful house and the white picketed fence and the perfect yard, and everything's clean and shiny and beautiful, and you walk into the home and the house is always clean and the dishes are always done and the laundry is constantly kept. There's not even a mess in the laundry room, right? And so as a result of this perfect moral state, an individual says, well, I'm better than everybody else around me, right? It's interesting, we have all of these bloggers today that take pictures of their house when they are in perfect shape, right? You've seen all these pictures, right? And a couple years ago, Tracy showed me a picture. One of those bloggers decided to reveal themselves, and she showed what the rest of the room looked like besides the corner that was in her view. And she says, just so you know, though that corner was perfectly prepared for the photo, the rest of the room was awry, right? So we had the perfect looking house. We go to church and there was a standard in church that the suit and the tie and the clean shaven head and the nice cut length hair, makeup and nice dress, all of these things signified an individual who was following the Lord Jesus Christ. Those individuals are dressed correctly, so they must be believers, right? So now, as life has progressed, the white picket fence house is not necessarily the standard for success in life and a good moral home, right? Now, maybe it is the fact that you have a nice car and an expensive home, which may be downtown in a large building, and you have a penthouse suite or something like that, and you are considered successful. And if you're considered successful, you must be a good person who's on the right track, right? I have an uncle I love dearly, and he is my, let's see if you can be thoroughly confused by this, he is my uncle and my brother, all right? So he is, my mom adopted her own brother through foster care because the courts decided that when my grandparents got divorced that neither one of them would get custody, and so the courts were in charge of his custody, and so my parents said, no, let's have somebody in charge of his custody, right? And so my parents took charge of his custody, so he is my brother legally, and he is my uncle biologically, right? And he left our home and went to the University of Michigan, and in 3 years got a bachelor's degree in aeronautical engineering. He was hired by Boeing and went to be an engineer for Boeing. While he was an engineer for Boeing, he got his pilot's license and then went through the training and became a pilot for the United States Air Force Reserves. And then he got bored with Boeing and was offered a job to be a pilot full-time for the Reserves. He was a full-time reservist. And so ended up being a colonel in the Air Force. He took his money and invested it well, and because he invested it well, he, by the time he was 27 years old, was very, very wealthy individual. He lived downtown Seattle in the 21st floor of a penthouse. Looking down outside the view of his penthouse was the Space Needle Tower. Pretty nice place, right? And then he started renting those places. He started buying and renting those places. And now I believe he is a millionaire. And he is a very good, upstanding, moral individual who has done everything exactly the way you're supposed to do it. And now his kids are doing everything exactly the way that they're supposed to do it. And guess what? He doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, as far as I know. But when you look at him, you go, wow, that is what I want to be. That is success. So the problem with judging on morality is that people's standards of morality fluctuate. Now in the church today, how do you know if somebody is truly a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now in the church today, if you wear a suit and tie and a dress and nice shoes and all those things, you're probably just a religious person. You're probably like the Pharisees. Today, you have to have a tattoo that says that I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And today, you have to, there's a video I watched of the contemporary church today where the pastor stands up and he makes sure everybody can see his tattoo so that they know that he has a past, right? He's come from a difficult place, right? So, and you have to dress like a common person. Right? So that individuals can relate to you. And if you do those things, then you are a moral, good, God-fearing Christian. I question the fact of the bedazzled jeans that cost, you know, $80 a pair and relating to the poor and difficult individual that is in the congregation. But that's just a personal preference problem, right? So we have the problem with morality is if we follow the stage of morality for salvation, there's no clear line. We don't know where to go. We don't know who to compare ourselves to. Do I compare myself to the successful person? Do I compare myself to the individual who has chosen to live in poverty so that he can care for the poor? Is that person more moral than the individual who looks like they've got their life put together? We don't know. There's no clear standard. So today, we're going to look at not only the fact that there are individuals who are relying upon morality, personal morality, to bring them justification, salvation, but also, if we're going to pursue that direction, what the standard of morality is, according to scriptures. Okay? The first, to those without the law, he says, for all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. You know, the truth is there are just some things that we do not need to be told to do or not to do, right? There are some things that we all agree are bad, right? If we see a man beating his wife, what do we think? No, that's not okay, right? We have individuals today, you talk to individuals who are not believers, who have chosen not to get married today. You know why they've chosen not to get married today? Because they believe that if you get married, that marriage has to last. And because they've seen it fall apart so often, they've said, I'm just not doing that. So people honor marriage and they think it's great if somebody can actually make a marriage work, but they've chosen to not marry at all because they would rather not be married and live together than be married and have it fail. There are just some things that we don't need to be told to do or not to do. The physical manifestations and actions which are seen, right? For when Gentiles who do not have the law, right? So heathen pagans who do not believe in God or who worship false gods because they have not been instructed according to the truth of God often make moral decisions. How many of you go to work with very moral people? Yeah, they make good decisions. They pay their bills. They pay their taxes. They vote. In our country, sometimes that's the standard for morality, right? Do those things, right? They take care of their children. They make sure that they're in school. They make sure that they are bathed and clothed, and that they have a warm house, and that they get the meals that they need. They make good moral decisions. They instinctively do what God would desire of them. By nature, do what the law requires. So without anybody even telling them, they do what the law, what God expects for them to do. We have individuals all around us who do exactly what God wants them to do because it's in their nature to do that. And they didn't have to be told. They instinctively do what God would desire of them. These moral pagans show that they know what God desires of them apart from instruction from the law. Do your kids ever do anything good without you telling them that they needed to do that thing good? Yeah, sometimes, right? Sometimes my kids do and say things to me that I'm like, did that come from my child? Did your mom tell you to do that, right? Did your mom tell you to say that thing? These moral pagans show that they know what God desires of them apart from instruction from the law. These moral individuals, though, are sinners because they fail to do the right thing consistently. All right? The definition of a sinner is an individual who has broken God's law. All right? So even though they are moral, these individuals are sinners because they fail to do the right thing consistently. James 4:17 says, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." I was at the grocery store the other day, and I saw somebody having a difficult time getting to their vehicle, and I was going into the store, and guess what I did? I didn't go and help them. And afterwards I thought, you know what? I probably should have gone and helped them. Guess what I just did? I just did not do what I knew I should have done, and I broke the law. To me, it was sin. So guess what? Because of that act, I don't get to go to heaven if I'm relying on morality, right? So these moral pagans, these moral individuals, they're sinners because they fail to do the right thing consistently. They can't possibly make the right choice every single time. These moral individuals are sinners because they have chosen their own way. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. So these individuals, they're sinners because they have decided that their way is good enough, that they don't need to do things God's way. They have rejected what they do know about God. They've said, you know what, yes, I know instinctively that there is a God. I know instinctively that there is a creator. I know instinctively that he has authority over my life, but I've decided that I'm not going to obey him. Instead of that, they have replaced what they know is true with a lie. Decided to create their own law. Decided to create their own way. The external manifestation, the physical manifestation, these actions which are seen by everyone are individuals who we know that they are good, law-abiding individuals who don't want anything to do with God at all. Secondly, we have the internal realities. These are what some individuals, this is what some individual thinks or believes. These are the things we can't see, all right? There are things that we can see about individuals, and we make, whether you want to admit it or not, we make judgments about individuals based on what we can see about their lives, right? Yeah, we do. These are things that we cannot judge because we cannot see them. They're internal realities. It says that even though they do not have the law, so without the instruction given by God directly, their natural moral actions show they know how God desires them to live. They show that the law, the work of the law is written on their hearts. So because because they do naturally some of the things that God intends for them to do, it is very clear that they know inside themselves what God desires of them. All right? Because people desire to do what is right and morally good, because individuals want to have good lives, it proves that inside them they believe there are some things that they're supposed to do. Does anybody else here like superhero movies? I'm very frustrated right now because the superhero movies are taking a turn for the worse. It frustrates me because I like the stories. But do you know that ungodly individuals have written these superhero movies? Did you know that? Right? Yet, in these superhero movies, these superheroes are good, most of the time, moral individuals. They don't like people to break the law. They don't like murder. They don't like theft. They don't like the abuse of women. They don't like the abuse of children. All of these things, they're made a picture of an individual who will do what is right. And they do that because the writers of those stories know instinctively how they're supposed to be acting. It's written on their hearts. Their natural moral actions show that they know God's desire, how God desires them to live. And then while their conscience also bears witness, internally they know whether they have done right or wrong. Another question for you. Think about this. Have you ever done something wrong that nobody knew that you did wrong? Nobody knew you sinned? I've done that, right? I've sinned. Nobody knew it. It's just between me and God. Individuals, they sin against God even though they don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them, and they know that they have sinned, and internally they struggle with it. Their conscience tells them that wasn't right. And so it proves that internally they know that God is real. They know what God expects of them. Their conscience bears witness. And their conflicting thoughts. Mentally, these individuals struggle over the choices that they have made. I was watching a show the other day. A father had left his family and had a confrontation with his child, in which the father, who wasn't a believer, knew that leaving his family to go live his life was wrong. Why? Because his mind told him. Because inside he knew what was right and he knew what was wrong. He knew what God expected of him. It is written on his heart. Knowing the morally correct choice, naturally they may struggle with guilt over the wrong things they have done. This is accusing themselves. When an individual who does not have the Holy Spirit inside them realizes that they have done something wrong, internally realizes this thing, they accuse themselves of the problem that they have created. Knowing the morally correct choice naturally, they may rationalize their way into believing they are not guilty. So they may accuse themselves of the sin, or they may rationally inside go, you know what? Maybe, Mike, you know, I wasn't going to be a very good father. So when I left my family, that was probably the best thing for my kids anyways. And they rationally justify the things that they have done. You know, I probably shouldn't have stolen that money. But the bank, it's not going to struggle because the insurance company is going to bail them out anyways, right? It's not really that big a problem for them. They rationalize their way into believing that they're not guilty of anything, actually. So how will this moral individual be judged? On that day, it says, so when they stand before judgment, when they stand before Christ, their position in Christ Jesus will be established by what their justification is based on. So their position before Christ will be established based on what saved them. All right? First thing, their own morality. James 2:10, and this is an important verse, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. So, if you're going to base it on your morality and your obedience just simply to do those things that you knew instinctively were right, if you haven't done it perfectly, then you will be judged based on your inability to live a moral life. Or secondly, is your hope based on this moral life, or is this hope based on, is your justification, your salvation based on Jesus' sacrificial gift, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one would boast. Is your salvation based on your own morality? I have been a solid member of Beacon Bible Church my entire life. I was born here. I grew up here. I participated in Sunday school. Now I am involved in the missions committee, and as a result of all these things that I have done morally, Christ should accept me. If that's the basis of your salvation, you're going to go to hell. Or the basis of my salvation is that I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, believed that I couldn't save myself. And as a result of that, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has been shed upon me, will save me from my sins. The realities of the hearts, when we stand before the judgment, the reality of their hearts will be revealed. The reality of our hearts will be revealed. God judges the secrets of men. So you think, you're sitting there and you go, it is so important for me that people think that I am a good Christian person, that I am a good moral individual. And you'll be able to get away with it the entire time that you're living on this earth. In fact, you may be an individual that everybody thinks is good and moral follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at your funeral, they will say great and wonderful things about you, and the church will be full, and there will be a name put for you on the plaque in the back that says a memorial was given in this person's name. And then you'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will reveal what is actually taking place in your heart. And everything that others said about you, everything that others believed about you because of your outward morality will be wiped away, because the only thing that will matter at that point and for the rest of eternity will be what was taking place on the inside. He will be the revealer of the hearts. The standard for personal righteousness will be Jesus. If your hope is in morality, then this is the position you have to be in. You have to be as good as Jesus was. There's no. Well, I was almost as good as Jesus was. I was better than the roommates that I had at college. I was better than the other students in my class. I was better than the people who were around me. No. You have to be better than the sinless, perfect Savior who sacrificed himself for our sins, Jesus Christ. That's the standard for morality. So here's the question for you in asking about where your hope is. Based on these things, here's what we know. Every individual is going to be judged someday. Nobody gets away from it. And if you are not instructed in what to do according to God's desire, you will be judged for what you know instinctively is right. Okay? So whether or not you've received instruction from the Word of God or not Doesn't matter what God already put in your heart and life, if you will be judged on those things. When you stand before Christ, He will determine if you repented of your sin and placed your hope in Him for righteousness. He will make clear this just determination about you by revealing the hidden parts of your heart and mind. And if you think you are morally able to stand the judgment, you must understand that the standard for moral righteousness is Jesus. Jesus, who never sinned. And if you have ever sinned, even once, you do not meet the standard. So here's the hope. The hope is to not place your faith in your ability to be good enough. Just give it up. I'm not going to make it. Your hope is in that the fact that Jesus is enough, that Jesus has made a way, that Jesus is our hope. So you repent. You repent. Salvation happens when we repent of trying to be good enough apart from Christ, and we put our hope in Him. Salvation happens when we repent of making Jesus a part of a good life formula and put our hope in Him. Salvation happens when we repent of trying to set ourselves apart from other believers and we put our hope in Him. Salvation happens only to those who have placed their hope in Jesus Christ for salvation. Period. And what happens today and in the days to follow in the view of individuals around us doesn't matter at all. The only thing that matters is what happens to us on that day when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything externally and internally is revealed before Him. And everybody will know. And you will either go into judgment for eternity or you will walk into the heavens with the Lord Jesus Christ. My request, my desire is that you would be with us in that day. That on that day, we will walk together hand in hand into the heavenlies. That we will experience the new earth and all of its glory as Jesus Christ reigns physically among us for the rest of eternity. What a great and wonderful day that will be. I just want you to be a part of it.